Bandwidth for Inside the Net is provided by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. This is Inside the Net with Amber MacArthur, episode 20 for May 2nd, 2006, Regenesis. So we're going to talk about something kind of interesting, and it's web design, I guess, but with something different in mind, and I think in many ways this is the future of new media. You want to tell us a little about it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it reminds me a little bit, you know, we've talked before about Web 2.0 application mashups. This is really like a media mashup in some ways, because what it is Regenesis TV, which is a television show that airs once a week, and mainly in Canada. And what they have as well is an interactive component where people can go in and play a game in what's called a virtual, I think, extended world, where they can play along with the show and interact with the characters of the show in this space that is really a space that allows them to become almost secret agents in the plot that's going on in the show. Now, that sounds a little bit confusing, but there's a whole bunch of things going on the web, and there's a whole community of people who are really engaging in this television show and watching podcasts and using, you know, watching podcasts that are using webcams and, you know, instant messaging and all these different types of technology. So it's quite a project.
It's really interesting. We have on the line with us the creative director of the company that created this, Evan Jones. You want to tell us a little about Evan before we bring him up? You met him at the Flash conference, right?
Yeah, there was a conference called FITC, which used to be called Flash in the Can, going on here in Toronto, and I met Evan there. Strangely enough, he was volunteering, and I have no idea how he finds the time to volunteer, because he really is the mastermind behind Regenesis TV in terms of, you know, working with the interactive team. They manage up to, I think, 9 websites where they're, you know, they've basically created websites that are supposed to look like real websites, but they're websites that are mentioned on the television show, as well as in the podcast, as well as in the interactive world. So he's really responsible for the entire interactive side and coordinating the team of producers who are managing the television show. So he's got quite a job, and you know, he's done some really neat things on the web side of things. So we're going to talk to him and get his definition of what Regenesis TV is all about.
The way that the project started was Shaftesbury Films came to us with the dramatic series Regenesis back in 2004 and talked with us about this new series that was going to be happening about biotechnology and the laboratory set in Toronto, and how they were really struggling to make sure that this was a story that was based on science fact and the kind of things that are emerging in the world of biotechnology, the controversial issues and just some of the mind-boggling stuff that's out there at the moment that the average public's not aware of. And so they worked very closely with scientific advisors to really keep things as real as possible. And what we talked about, and what we always talk about with projects that we do, is how we wanted to stay as true to their vision as possible. And so we happened to find a really great fit with a sort of genre of interactive narrative called alternate reality gaming, and thought that this would be a great thing to introduce to the series, because if it was such a real story that they were trying to tell, what we should really do is do our best interactively to make that story real. And the way we do that is by blowing out the narrative into all sorts of different websites, telephone lines, email communications that actually purport to be a part of the story, so you can get in touch with the characters from the series as their story updates each week.
So when you say we, who is we?
I'm speaking, I guess, about the users out there who.
No,
are,
I meant when you decided to, or when you were called on to do this. You a web design team? Or?
Sorry, I should back up a little bit. I'm the creative director at a company called Xenophile Media.
That's who the we is.
The Xenophile Media is a cross-platform production company, and we work in many different styles, and some of them are documentary and television, but also interactive narrative as well.
Oh, so that's cool. So you're kind of a new media kind of agency then.
Mm-hmm. We're some of our past projects have been interactive television and work on films with interactive components, and now we're Genesis.
So I need to get you to explain this, Evan, because I think this is the most fascinating part of what you guys do as the interactive team. Every week you update a total of 9 different websites, and these correspond with the weekly TV show that is going on, and you also podcast video from the TV show, so a video synopsis. So can you talk a little bit about that and how the online gaming community sort of interacts with the actual show and what's going on there?
Yeah, we've got a lot out there at the moment, all the time. And what that means when we talk about 9 different websites and the different ways of communicating, they're really about representing characters and groups of characters. And so much the way that an organization like Xenophile Media would be expected to have a website, well, an organization like Norback, the fictional laboratory inside the show, demands a website. And on that website, the kind of content that they update is obviously related to what they're doing in their everyday lives, which is the nature of the show. So when a big event happens, one week there was a protest by a religious organization. And so not only did the Norback website update about the status of that protest, but a religious organization also launched its website to announce its new protest campaign.
But it was all you.
Well, it was all... part of the story of Regenesis.
I don't want to break the fourth wall if there's such a thing in this kind of.
No. I mean, we.
but if I'm at the Norback website and it looks like a real company. I mean, it looks real.
Mm-hmm. And that's the intention, is that at all times we're talking about a suspension of disbelief here, because what we really use as one of our taglines is that you become a part of the story for this. You become a field agent for the laboratory, and so you're working external to the lab. You're not shown on camera, but your influence comes into each episode in sort of subtle ways that you can see.
It is so cool. So let's talk a little bit about how, you know, we understand the whole television part of it, and that there's a show that goes on every week and mm-hmm. there's a plot in the show. But as far as the users who are playing the game, how would someone come in and start playing the game? Because I think, as far as I understand, if they go through Norback, they request to become an agent in Norback, and then, you know, what process do they go through from there?
Well, through the different... Everyone comes to the main website, which is RegenesisTV.com. I'll have to make sure to say that very clearly. And at RegenesisTV.com, you have the ability to register. And from that registration, all of the different factions of the story start to reach out to you. And so there are different levels of gameplay that happen in this storyline. One of the sort of main levels is to interact with the podcasts. And so every week we've cut together a 3.5-minute podcast that summarizes what's going on in the story, not only with the television story, but the interactive story. And so we have a large audience that views those podcasts to keep up to date with the story and the backstory. On top of that, we have sort of the main missions that come up. And these are things that reach out to you, because we email players every week to say that you have a new pending mission in the Norback intranet. And once you do that, you get to see video from the cast speaking directly to you in character about something that's happened this week that they need your help about. And once you see that video, you're given instructions on what you need to do, whether it's to enter someone's email address and sift through some of their backdated emails, or sequence a piece of DNA using an interactive tool and send the results back to them. And once you complete these kinds of missions, you're sent a message from that character who says, you know, great job, this is exactly what I'm looking for. And then they give you another piece of the story that completes the sort of puzzle and often feeds into the next episode.
So I'm on the Norback site, and I see this Second Coming protest, and I can launch this flash, or actually it's video, of the protest. They're arresting a protester right now.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we're actually listening to the audio right now. I don't know if you guys can hear it, but that's I mean, it's very realistic looking.
And if, what are the tricks?
If I hadn't seen the TV show and I stumbled on this site, would I know that it's not real? I mean, I wouldn't.
We had a lot of people come to some of the sites, especially last season, because a lot of the sites were all live in the way that if you went to any of the websites, you would access them straight from a URL.
Right.
This year we've changed.
Now you have a password to get in.
We go through a password for a registered user, but right. NORBAC, because it's so much a part of the public vision of Regenesis, we've decided that it should really be a portal of its own, and it allows you to take the NORBAC tour, which introduces all the different characters, but then at the end of it serves as a recruiting tool. And if you get through the tour, you realize that the character says to you, you know, you're really the kind of person that we need on our team. If you put in your email address every week, we will contact you with something new.
Let's listen to a little bit of the tour here so you can get an
idea. I'm Weston Field, and this is the North American Biotechnology Advisory Commission. I know that's quite a mouthful. We call it NORBAC for short. Today, we'll take you through NORBAC's laboratory, where you'll get to meet our scientists and help us solve a simulated case.
So is Weston Field actually an actor from the TV show?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's played by Greg Brick. And this has all been shot on set with the main cast of the series.
So, we're talking really about a marketing tool, but it's a kind of a subtle marketing tool. I mean, it's not really an ad for the TV show. In fact, you probably wouldn't really follow what's going on unless you already were a fan of the TV show.
What we really talk about is that there's almost as much story in the interactive narrative as there is in the television series.
It's not an ad for, it's an adjunct to. It's part of the TV show.
Exactly. It's a huge part of the storyline, and we've worked very, very closely with the series writers to make sure that there is that backstory that accents everything. Like, there are whole narrative paths that are taken in the interactive that you don't actually see in the series, but that are alluded to, and sort of those quiet moments in the show where you start to see evidence of them.
I am ashamed to say I haven't seen the show. Steve Gibson is a huge fan of the show and is keeps saying, Leo, you got to see Regenesis. Is it only on in Canada? We can see it in the States, can't we?
It's been licensed in quite a few countries, but it doesn't yet have a U.S. broadcast window.
Where have I heard that before, Amber?
It sounds a lot like Call for Help, except we can't legally say that it's available other places online.
Well, somehow Steve got some copies, and he's passing along DVDs for me, and I have them actually. So I want to watch now. This is really cool.
I'd be eager to hear what you think.
Yeah,
it's been a real interesting project for sure.
Evan, I have one question about how you are really sort of managing the entire interactive side, because I know you're a big player in that and planning everything out. Last time I think I saw you in Toronto, you were mentioning you had to go and update a bunch of websites on Sunday night, because you really have to stay on top of that. And there's so many people playing the game. There's so many components. You know, mm-hmm. How many people are really involved on the interactive side of things in terms of making that portion, you know, keep going and be very fresh and real?
Well, we've had a large team because, as you can imagine, it takes quite a lot of different specialties. You know, we've got someone just dedicated to building the phone systems, someone just dedicated to doing some of the server admin and all those different roles. And in total, we've got about 25 on staff for the project. But one of the interesting parts is that because this is such a real story and a reality of its own, it's the kind of thing that's unpredictable. Because there really aren't any rules for how to play the game. We've got another deeper level of gameplay for our sort of hardcore audience, where this group of hackers has sort of sworn revenge on the NORBAC laboratory and tries very hard to sabotage them at every turn. And that level of gameplay really opens our doors for the kind of behavior where people find files that we didn't mean to be found and think of sort of lateral ways to approach the problems. And what that puts us in a situation of is that the story then has to shift to accommodate that new reality. And so we've got a team, as I mentioned, we work with the show writers, but we've also got game designers. And there are times where we have to subtly put that new spin on things where a character will announce something prematurely or move through a different piece of content. There's a level of unpredictability because you can never really estimate what the collective can do. I should say that the fan base is just incredible because they work together on a website called sciencesucks.com. It's a forum.
They're working through all of the different, I guess, all the different tasks that they're getting from NORBAC and just trying to figure out ways to hack into everything.
Exactly. And then what we always talk about here on the development team is that because each of them has their own specific knowledge about any topic, combined, they really are a powerful force. And we say you can't really suggest that it's, you know, 10,000 people playing the game. You have to think of it as one person who is 10,000 times the IQ and 10,000 times the extra time.
That's kind of daunting.
Yeah, it's a very formidable audience.
How do you stay ahead of them?
Well, as you'll see with the game, it's got a lot of twists and turns and unexpected plots. Another part is that some of the puzzles, I mean, they range from all sorts of different things. Some are sort of a mainstream, and some really push the envelope to say that you've got to go to real-life locations and pick up objects that then feed back into the group.
And we've seen other companies do this kind of thing. BMW has done these. There have been other games. I think in those cases, they were really advertisements, just extended advertisements, a way to reach eyeballs that they couldn't reach in the more standard media. But it sounds to me like this is more a new form of media or a new kind of hybrid media that uses the web as part of the narrative.
Yeah, and
was that their intent?
We really knew that was going to be our goal with this because, you know, the bravery of everyone who's worked on the project has really shone through with that to take those leaps where we can start to talk in the television world as if the interactive is an assumption. I don't know if that makes sense, but I was talking with Amber earlier about how in our language, we always drop in the kinds of things like, oh, I'll Google that,
right,
or, you know, I saw it on Flickr or something like that. And it makes sense that kind of conversation would also exist on the television world.
But was there fear among the television people that you would outpace the audience and their abilities to be interactive?
Well, we've always sort of considered it the model of the television show stands alone, and the interactive is really what fleshes out the story from there. I mean, we've got a certain fan base that is a fan of the series, but then another fan base that is involved with the series and the interactive. And what we talk about is one of the taglines is only you know the whole story, because it really is up to you to push as far as you can to find out the entire narrative. And I can assure you that the harder you push, the harder the story will push back to fill in the gaps.
I heard, I don't know if you can talk about this, but as you know, we both have a mutual friend who used to work on this, and I heard a rumor about some of the fans, I think, possibly thinking NORBAC was a real place and wanting to maybe go and find out where NORBAC was and then finding a design team in a little office. Could you tell that story? Because it's pretty funny.
Yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of stories about ways that people play this game because, I mean, if you start putting out the notion that NORBAC is a real place, it's only logical that people start looking for it. And so we set up a P.O. box for it, which actually gets real mail. Last year, one of the characters in the series was killed and needed to be replaced for her specialty, and we began getting resumes mailed to us to fill this role as if NORBAC was hiring. And there are other examples where in the hunt for the lab and the different sets, I mean, they're not really considered sets. They're really considered places that might have clues. And so one of our designers of our Flash group that actually designed the NORBAC website, they had a surprise visitor who came looking around and asking questions and just seemed to know a little bit more about Regenesis than they let on.
Was he a fan?
Yeah, yeah. And so
doing a little espionage.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, we've had circumstances where, you know, a piece of information can be found in all sorts of ways. You know, it'll be a presentation I'll be giving at a school, and one of the students will post the information on the site, and that will be the way that it's discovered, you know, and it's there's really no holds barred when it comes to it. So it's a wonderful experience because it always challenges us as designers to be able to anticipate that and to play into that.
Did you, Devin, have game design experience, or do you have somebody on the team who has game design experience, or is this something new for you?
We've had a few game designers. We had some consultants who come in, but one of our main game designer this year has been Tony Walsh, who's done he's got a weblog called Clickable Culture, and he does quite a lot of different games, and I worked with him because I've been really researching the alternate reality gaming space for, gosh, I hate to admit it, but 5 years now, and have been learning a lot from previous games and where they've succeeded and failed, and different ways that people choose to play these. I think one of the big decisions was to make this a collaborative gameplay where it's about uncovering the story as a group and not about who's going to win at the end.
It seems kind of interesting to me in terms of, you know, I imagine the TV show where the actors go there and it's very obviously a TV show, whereas I picture you guys as kind of the development team and on the interactive side, that you are almost sort of living in this reality that you're creating in some ways. I mean, I imagine people around there get kind of carried away with it, and as much as it's supposed to be sort of this fictional place, it almost becomes a real place in some ways.
Well, it's got a real power to do that because, I mean, we've got a lot of show Bibles and sort of storyboards and things like that, because you need to have a real understanding of who each character is if you're going to be able to react to, you know, unique situations in character. When we're making up new responses for emails, it helps to have a real encyclopedic knowledge of that. And so there's a great example of how one player decided that the main character, his name's David. David is sort of a womanizer and a very charismatic guy, and it seems that he has a long list of women in his past. And so one of the players appeared in an email as if she was an ex of his, an ex-girlfriend, and started quoting all of these backstories that she had created about the time when they researched in this lab together or went on vacation and all these different things, and was using these flirtations to elicit information about the case that was going on at the time.
And how do you accommodate something like that?
And so we make decisions, you know, in our committees and things on whether or not we're going to close that off or take that as a real story inspiration.
She could bring you down a whole new area.
And so
wow, so it's really interactive.
Yeah, we do have an opportunity. I mean if people are going to go to that level of creativity, you really want to see where it leads, because it would make total sense to that character to have an ongoing correspondence with some of his past.
And I've heard some rumors about some television shows like Lost planning to do something like this, you know, something more interactive. Do you know anything about that?
Mm-hmm. I've met with the folks at Lost, and I've spoken with them. I know that they've got a lot of different websites. What's interesting, I think, with the transition right now is they have a lot of promotional websites that fill in a bit of the thoughts around the storyline, but don't become a part of the storyline. And I think that this next season, with the rumors that I've heard, we may see a shift towards a more, shall I say, a Regenesis kind of model, where they become a part of that story.
Does stuff come from the website into the television side, or is it all a one-way street?
No, that's a very good question, Leo. A couple of the different ways that happens is that what we've talked with the series is that there are field agents out there, and that's just an assumption. And so when people are in the scripts, they're talking about, you know, I've received this, I've been sent that. We want to talk about involving the field agents as much as possible. And so one of the examples that I give is one of the storylines asks us to take over a person's email address and start to sift through some of the archives that they have to discover a past with a romance that happened in Africa. And we print out these photographs and we send them to the character. to Wes, who's doing the investigation. What I mean by this is we forward those emails and those photos to the NORVAC tip line, and Wes receives it in the fiction. In the next episode, as it airs, one of the very first scenes is Wes walking into the scene. He throws down the photographs that we have forwarded to him, and he says, I just got sent this by the field agents.
Huh. Wow.
Now, that's difficult because they probably tape months in advance of what's going on in the real world. How do you coordinate that?
Yeah, and so we really, that's what I mean, is the close collaboration is really the powerful part of that, is it allows us to write those kind of elements in to say, okay, the field agents need to end up with this image at the end because it's going to be in the show.
Then you'll know that it's going to be in the show.
And so that's my role with the show, is to find those interactive elements that, I mean, if you're watching the series and unaware of the interactive, you think, okay, well, yes, it makes sense that a field agent would have sent that in. But if you're a part of that experience,
you get a little
buzz. Say, that's me.
You know, I saw that happen.
that is my email that he's throwing down there.
Do you think this, I mean, you know, I've worked for a long time in television where we've tried and failed many times to get the web to integrate with a TV show. Of course, it's always been nonfiction. And some of it is the resistance of TV people to the notion. Some of it is, that's not how we've done it for the last 50 years. Mm-hmm. But some of it is also a fear that the audience is going to be left behind. Do you think that what you're doing now is the first steps towards something new?
I do. Yeah, I do. I personally come at it with a real passion for interactive narrative and looking at the ways that we're going to see cross media coming at a new audience. I mean, it's at the moment there's a real generational thing where we see a lot of younger demographic just going seamlessly online from television and back and forth.
Probably while they're watching the show. We've found that with our audience. They're actually
exactly
online.
There's a strong, strong component of people who are using laptops right on their lap while watching television, and we've specifically designed one of our episodes for that audience, and so we'll see some interesting things from that. I'll keep my mouth shut, but look for big things. And what we're finding now, though, is that more and more we're seeing all sorts of broadcasters and producers who are really starting to embrace it. And I mean, Shaftesbury's really led the way with that. And Xenophile's worked with a lot of collaborators that have really tried to push that envelope to see where there's a possibility. I think there's a bit of a legacy in it where we've made things that are, you know, standalone television projects that don't require an interactive. But I think more and more you're going to see the interactive becoming a viable part of the story or the content that that people consume from that brand and that series.
And what do you think is in the future for Regenesis TV? Because I know you guys have been around for some time, and I'm just guessing you're going to take it so much further down the road. I know you can't tell us everything because that would kind of ruin the plot of the show, but can you tease us with a few things?
Well, we've talked about doing some events that involve other locations other than the web, as in physical locations. I know that there have been a lot of great precedent with other alternate reality games to do that and to get people together, not just online, but also in person. And we've also talked about, I mean, we really love to make things that are event-based. And so, I mean, when it comes to television, a lot of our projects make it into an event. One of the things people have talked about with Regenesis is how much it becomes, well, Variety Magazine talked about it being a TiVo killer, because it's the kind of thing where you watch the episode right at the premiere of the episode, and then you go online and you have a whole community of people waiting there to solve this case as it happens. And because it's collaborative, you need to be there right at the that moment.
And of course, that's one of the things producers are looking for.
Mm-hmm.
TiVo. You must watch ads.
Exactly. So what we're talking about is a lot of those event-based moments where we put people back into sort of a time and a space. It's interesting because there's sort of those two movements that are happening at the same time, where people have a much more personalized media experience where they can customize through IPTV and through podcasting and all of those things, where It's all about control over the time and place of your media. There's been some interesting sort of projects that go in the opposite direction of that, and I think it's really interesting to see the back and forth between the two trends.
I'm sure advertisers love this because they think of all the additional ways they can intrude on our consciousness. But what's interesting is you seem to have resisted that pretty effectively. I don't see a lot of advertising in here.
With this, I mean,
it would spoil
really
the
about,
effect. I'm, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you want to stay true to the reality as much as anything. One of the things that has been really exciting is that we've seen some projects that have come up that have been advertising-based, but they've been really respectful of the fact that they're doing an entertainment experience. And so we always talk about doing something like branded entertainment where, you know, there may be a major corporate sponsor behind the project, but it's such an engrossing story that it's not an ill feeling where you feel like you're being subjected to a sales pitch. You actually feel like a company may be thinking of you and ready to entertain you.
Yeah, I think that's actually the trend in advertising in general, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, a project like this, I think could hold up to a bit of it, but I would really make sure that it was something that fed into the entertainment and was true to the realism, because I mean, you can't just slap a logo over a government website and expect people to believe it anymore.
Yeah, definitely.
How popular has this been? I see 1,000 people are in the message boards. Has it been a success in your mind, in the minds of the producers?
Yeah, I mean, that's just for this now second season that we've put on. We've really been happy with it, especially because it's the kind of thing that we are able to redeploy, and we're going to be redeploying it in the fall on another channel as well. And so, you know, I think it's a real success because it's pushed the envelope so well, and we have different sort of tiers of gameplay that I was explaining earlier. And so we have different levels of involvement at all those different levels. We've got a large group of people that just are sort of at that first tier where they're exploring the tour on the site, which is a standalone game, and checking out the podcast, but not actually getting involved in the registration of the episodic content.
So, you know, in terms of, you guys have won, I just wanted to mention as well, you guys have won a bunch of awards. I know here in Canada, I think you're up for a few more awards as well,
mm-hmm.
and people are definitely recognizing all the work you're doing. In terms of someone wanting to jump in and learn how to play and visit Norback, I know you have phone numbers, you have ways to sign up to enter Norback. What's the best way to get involved right away without maybe not having access to the television show?
Well, I think we designed the podcast specifically to catch people up who hadn't had a chance to be involved in the earlier episodes. And so those are based on each episode, and they bring people up to date on where our interactive story is. That way it allows people to, if they're coming in now, they're going to be coming in at episode 7. And so they've got 7 podcasts that bring them up to that storyline and see what they've missed. There is a chance to go back. If you notice on the Norback website, you can go through the archived missions, and some of those are still active because you can still go through and email the characters and get responses from them based on that week's content. And so I would say that one of the best ways is to go through some of that previous content to get a taste of what it's like, and then to jump right in. And I mean, everyone over at thesciencesucks.com forum and the forum that we've got on regenesistv.com, they're all really helpful because it's such a collaborative spirit that we've set up in the community. Everyone's there to really help each other get through the story and unlock pieces, because you never know which player is going to be that valuable link who happens to know that obscure piece of knowledge that the entire week's rest on. You know, it's everyone finds themselves useful at some point or another in the gameplay.
I have a feeling I'm not going to get much work done in the next few weeks because of this game, Evan.
Have you watched the show, Amber? Are you a fan of the show?
I haven't seen the show. I've been online. I've been on the site. I've been into Norback. I mean, one thing that just struck me as soon as I logged into Norback and started getting the tour is having these actors who are talking to you as though, you know, you really are there at a real-life government website.
Yeah,
I mean,
cool.
it's something that you don't really feel when you go on the internet. You kind of, a lot where you wonder, is this real, or are these people acting and you don't really know? And so that to me is kind of a new reaction, where I'm thinking, I know they're actors, I know they're just pretending to do this, but they've got it set up in a way where you really feel like you're entering this virtual world. So you guys have done a great job of that, and I could see getting sucked in.
And I love it that on the front page, you have a little bug for Ontario Genomics Institute, get the facts behind the fiction. Mm-hmm. So you're sending people to an actual genomics site so that if they want to know more, which
is
great.
And that's a great partnership. They've been part of the advisory team that takes us through a lot of the science that make up the plot.
They actually go in episode by episode and talk about the science in the episodes.
Yeah, those have been really popular, especially with the science community.
Yeah, sure.
One of the challenges that we always have is you're almost shackled by the reality of it sometimes, because with the Norback site, for instance, I was saying to Amber earlier that if you were to contact one of the members of the team to say, you know, I saw the work that you had done on the Movie Network last Sunday night, their response would be flat out, I don't know what you're talking about.
What are you talking about? Like, Movie Network?
There's no cameras in here.
I'm not an actor, I'm a scientist.
And so every time that we capture them in video, we actually need to also explain the camera, because these fictional cameras that flow through the show are not the cameras that we're allowed to use, because they would obviously recognize that those are foreign cameras. Right. And so all of our video is captured from webcams and from surveillance cameras. And the tour that you're seeing on the front page of the site is the one exception to the rule, where they'd had such a bad public relations disaster last season that they actually sort of dropped the hammer and introduced a camera crew who are going to come and interview the scientists as a publicity stunt to show that we're a safe environment and accountable and transparent and all those buzzwords that you hear going around. And so what we really tried to do with that scene was to sometimes make it sort of awkward, where there's some characters who come off as if this may be the first time that they're actually on camera and being properly lit.
Right. Really cool.
Wow, it's really cool. Thanks so much for joining us, Evan. So we'll make sure that we put all the links to Norback and all these other places on tweet.tv.
That'd be great.
More people exploring.
Well, I'd love to hear everyone's reaction. We've got our forum set up, and our team does look at them to sort of figure out what's next in the story, and also to figure out what's going to be planned for the next season.
I really feel like this is kind of a window into what media will look like in the next generation, you know, because it's much more compelling and much more, it's almost three-dimensional compared to what's been two-dimensional so far.
Really neat. I'm glad to hear it. I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you, Evan.
Thank you so much.
We'll talk to you soon.
That's Evan Jones. He's the creative director for the Regenesis websites, and also with Xenophile, which is a Toronto-based agency, I guess multimedia agency would be the best way to describe them. They do beautiful web design. I mean, just from a purely aesthetic point of view, it's a gorgeous site, isn't it?
Yeah, it makes me want to put up a bunch of fake websites. It seems like that's what they're doing. And the sites are great. I mean, they're so realistic. They're really well designed, really well developed, and they're updated, like he said, every single week. So when I had seen him at the Flash in the Can conference, he was working all weekend volunteering, and then Sunday night he had to go and make sure that all, I think, 9 of these websites, or at least a good portion of them, were updated. So it's a busy job. You know, we think we have a hard time just managing podcasts and television shows. Imagine if they were all mashed together.
Yeah, and it's all kind of fiction, so you have to not merely put it up, but you have to create it, you have to write it.
Yes,
it's
exactly.
Really interesting.
You have to write it.
Yeah, and it has to match what the show is doing, and it's really kind of a juggling act. I think people have said this before, that's one of the challenges of nonlinear fiction and interactive fiction, is it's more work for the author, because there's so many different ways it can go. It's not a linear story, and yet it can have an amazing result, a very realistic result.
Oh, definitely. And I mean, Evan, as far as I know, does a lot of the writing on it, and, you know, has helped to really develop Norback, and working with a team of designers and developers.
I thought Norback was real when I first saw the site. I thought it was a real thing. I didn't know.
I think everybody has to check out Norback and just, you know, sign up, just use a Gmail account or Hotmail account and do the tour of Norback, because I really think you'll have a feeling of thinking, oh, this is interesting because, you know, we've gotten to the point on the web where, you know, now I think people can distinguish between a really good website and a bad website and what's real and what's not real. And then all of a sudden we're getting back into this blurry world.
Yeah.
So it's interesting and it kind of sucks you in a little bit because, you know, if you have a favorite TV show that you love, imagine you can get involved in that show, you know, 24/7.
Yeah. Ooh, that's scary. That's really scary.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Leoville on steroids.
It is. I sympathize with him because I know what it involves. He said it's not an ad for the show, and of course it really isn't. I mean, it's part of the creative of the show, but at the same time, it does make you want to see it.
Well, yeah, and at the same time, you know, you wonder, does the television show become really the ad for the interactive side of things? You know, thinking about it that way, too. It's just, it's kind of confusing
in terms of, you're right. That's a good point. The TV show's just an ad for the website.
I know, and I really think there's a possibility things will actually become like that, you know, in the long run. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just, again, just kind of this blurry world where there's no real lines, and it's interesting to kind of dive right in and be able to talk to him about it, because obviously he's sucked into the middle of it. And I know he kind of lives and breathes Regenesis TV 24/7.
Well, talking about virtual reality, we're working on interviews with the creators of Second Life, which should be very interesting. Another kind of virtual space that people spend a lot of time in. I wonder how people have time. I don't have enough time for my own life, let alone a second life.
I don't know. I'm thinking of hiring someone to help out with my own life, I'm going to spend more time on Norbeck.
And, of course, you can catch Amber's great video podcast, Command N, at commandn.tv. It's out every Monday, isn't it?
Yep, every Monday.
And, well, of course, Call for Help TV if you're in Canada or Australia. And soon, we hope, on the Internet, coming to a website near you. We're working on that. And we'll see you next Tuesday for... Oh, I want to apologize, by the way, to folks who haven't been able to get into twit.tv. And if you're listening to this, I'm hoping that twit.tv will be back up. My fault. I pulled a newbie blunder. I didn't renew the domain name, which just shows you how confident I was about the success of twit.tv. I only registered it for 1 year. So I've gone into our account. GoDaddy had an auto renewal on it, and that's why I wasn't paying such close attention. And turned out they had a bad credit card number, and it went offline this morning. But I immediately went to GoDaddy and paid it, and it's just going to take a while to propagate through the domain name system before twit.tv is back up. But the good news is I've renewed it through the year 2015. So I can promise you at least another 9 years of twit.tv. So my apologies for those of you who are a little confused by that. We want to thank our friends at America Online for providing us with the bandwidth. They never go down. AOL.com/podcasting is the AOL radio channel. You might want to check that out. And we'll see you next Tuesday, Amber.
All right. Thanks, Leo.
For Inside the Net.